Well, good evening. It's certainly good to be back with you this evening. We'll be studying from God's Word, Psalm 145. If you've got an Old Testament handy, that's where we're going to be here in just a moment, Psalm 145. I want us to begin by thinking about legendary coach John Wooden. A lot of you may be familiar with him. Some of the younger folks may not be so familiar. But he is probably, arguably, one of, if not the greatest college basketball coaches of all time. What isn't arguable is the records and the run that he went on. On a 12-year stretch, John Wooden and his team at UCLA won 10 national championships. In a 12-year stretch, 10 national championships. Remarkable. Remarkable. Well, after John Wooden's legendary career, after he retired, he penned a book, as a lot of coaches do. Lots of people do, I guess, these days. When you retire, what do? Write a book. That's what all the well-known fancy people do these days, right? You write a book when you retire, and that's what he did. And in the midst of that book, he told a story that when he graduated from high school, that his dad set him down. And he told him, son, I've given you about all the parenting that I can give. And I will give you one final thing to think about. And I will bestow upon you 8 principles that you should pattern your life by. 8 principles. And John Wooden, now decades after his father set him down and gave him those 8 principles, is writing in this book and he's telling the story how he strove to live his life with these 8 principles in mind. The first is this: be true to yourself. Principle number 1. Number 2, help others. Number 3, make friendship a fine art. Drink deeply from good books, especially the Bible. Next, build a shelter against a rainy day. What a poetic, his dad, poetic usage right here. Build shelter against a rainy day. Pray for guidance every day. Number 7, give thanks. Give thanks for your blessings. And then finally, make each day your masterpiece. And it is on this last principle that John Wood's father gave to him where I want us to spend some time thinking about tonight. This one to me stands out from all the rest. It stands out because I believe it's somewhat different than the rest of them. When we think about some of the other principles, like being true to yourself and helping others and drinking deeply from good books or making friendship a fine art or praying for guidance each and every day, I think those are things that we can look at, that we can think about. Whether or not we follow those things perfectly every day, we understand the need for those things. Those things make sense to us. Those things live in the real world. But what doesn't live in the real world is principle number 8. Make each day your masterpiece or a masterpiece. And the reason that it doesn't live in the real world, because when we analyze our days, I don't know about you, but I often come away with the acknowledgement that every day for me isn't a masterpiece day. That I've got some clunkers in there. I've got some days that at the very end of that day, I just wanted to go to sleep so that that day could end, right? And maybe you've been... Make each day a masterpiece? How is that even possible? How is that reality? How does that fit by way of practicality or application in our life? Because listen, John Wooden, or John Wooden Sr., whatever his dad's name was. I don't know what his dad's name. Mr. Wooden. Every day isn't a masterpiece. So this is not something that's possible. That's what we want to think, because that's where a lot of us are. That's where we live. We live in this world, and in the midst of this world, there's chaos, and in the midst of this world, there's trouble. In the midst of this world, there's difficulties and obstacles, and we at times allow those things to consume us. So that when we get to the end of some of those days, all we want is for that day to be over. I want to steal a little bit of my thunder from this morning, But when that is the case, where is our focus? Where is our focus? When we go to bed at night and we look back on the day and we are thumbs down from the beginning to the end. Well, tomorrow is another shot sometimes. Well, what I want us to think about and what we're going to study from with regards to this idea from Psalm 145 is that there is a way to make each and every day a masterpiece. I want you to sit there and I want you to think, whether you believe it's reality or not, I want you to begin right now with answering just that question. Are you interested in that? Are you interested in a life where each and every day you can look back on and say, what an unbelievably blessed, masterpieceful, made that up, masterpieceful day. Boy, I'd be interested in that. Wouldn't you? Well, the psalmist in Psalm 145, I think, helps us to see how that can be a reality. And we're going to set a baseline, and then off of that baseline, we're going to make 3 points that I think can help us, and that I think that we can work on even starting right now. I'm in Psalm 145. We've already had read for us beginning in verse 1 down through verse 8. I'm going to read that again. Hopefully everybody has opened up to Psalm 145. Let's read it together, beginning in verse 1. I will extol you, my King, my God, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. I want to drop down to the very end of that psalm, as the psalmist closes his thoughts here in verse 21. He says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Let's talk about how it is that we can make each and every day a masterpiece. And we're going to start with the idea that we get directly from verse 2. The importance of blessing God every day. Look at what the psalmist says in 145 and verse 2. Every day. Listen to that. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. This idea that we start off at the very beginning, that this isn't about emotion. You see, a lot of times when we get to the very end of the day and we feel as if we've just had a rotten day and everything went wrong. Well, listen, having a masterpieceful day each and every day isn't about emotion. It is about intention. Listen to the psalmist here. I will bless the Lord every day. That's not emotion. He's not saying, I feel like blessing the Lord because the sun is shining, or I feel like blessing the Lord because I just got a promotion at work, or I feel like blessing the Lord because all of my kids weren't in grumpy moods today, right? It's not that. It is the intention. I will bless the Lord. And then we have this word, bless, that's given to us. You know, this word, it's interesting, especially by way of use in the Old Testament. It is one of the most used Hebrew words in the Old Testament. You pick up a Strong's Concordance. I mean, one of the old books. I mean, the giant jobs, you know, that nobody uses anymore. But the big, Strong's, exhaustive concordance. And you look up the word bless It is page after page after page the word is used in the Old Testament. That Hebrew word. But what makes it interesting is that we really sometimes have a problem with translating that word, because it is one of those Hebrew words that we do not have an exact English word for it. So it's translated in all kinds of different things. Praise, celebrate, adore, salute, thank. That same Hebrew word is translated so many different ways because we just don't have a great English word for it. But what helps us is to understand just simply what that Hebrew word means. And it means to kneel down. It's to operate in a humble spirit. It's to understand who we are with reference to God. I will bless you every day, remembering where all of the goodness in our life comes from. What does James chapter 1 and verse 17 say? Every good and perfect gift, where does it come? It comes from above. And each and every day, I'll bless. I was thinking about this as I was sitting down just a moment ago. And I came to the realization that, you know what, when I was thinking about this first point, and the thought came to me that, you know, anything that we don't turn into praise turns into pride. Let me give you an example of that. Everything that we don't praise God for turns into pride. Because what happens? Something great happens at work. Something great happens in our life. Well, what is there a temptation to do? Look at what I have done here. Look at what I have done here. We do that all the time. We do that even on small scales. And we think that's not a big deal. It's just a little bitty thing. Yeah, it was me that we may back up and say, yeah, I did that. I did that all on my own. But for the Christian, I want you to think. That's what we talked about a little bit even this morning, about changing the way that we think. What is it that we're focused on? Everything that we don't praise God for turns into pride. Everything that we have in this life, every blessing that we have to enjoy, everything comes from God. Everything comes from God. And the psalmist is reminding us that he is to be praised for that. He is to be blessed for that. He is to be celebrated for that. He is to be adored for that. He is to be thanked for that. He is to be knelt down in front of. Because of what he does each and every day. The psalmist, every day I will bless you. But what does that look like? What's that look like? How do I do that? Well, the psalmist tells us three ways here in Psalm 145 that we can bless God every single day. And when we do that, have every day turn out to be a masterpiece. And the first one is this. Behold his works every day. Look again at Psalm 145 and verse 5. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. How good at you are noticing the things around? How good at you are noticing the things that you're surrounded by? You know, sometimes it is that we get so engrossed in who we are and what we're all about and what we've got going on that we miss often what we are surrounded by. I love the way the psalmist here gives it to us. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. This idea of meditate, it seems familiar to us, right? If you were with us this morning, we talked a long time about that, and maybe you see this as piling on. I see it as doubling down. That's the way I look at it, right? When we think about this idea and we think about this word, it is that prolonged focus on something. Sometimes we put into our mind meditate and we convince ourselves that meditating is emptying our mind. No, that's sleep. That's what that is. That's sleep is emptying your mind. Meditating is focusing your mind. Filling your mind with something. And this morning we talked about what it is that we are to fill our mind with, focusing our attention fully upon God. And here we have in Psalm 145 again mentioned to us about the importance of meditating on God, on His Word, and on the world even. Two things that we can meditate on that I'll give you that we talked a little bit about even this morning, but I want to build upon that just for a moment. Two things that we can spend our time meditating on. We talked this morning a lot about meditating upon God's Word. But we also are surrounded by a world that He has given us to meditate on. How often do we take time to take a look? Is it only every 100 years when something like the eclipse comes through that you take notice of God's nature and His creation and how just magnificent and unbelievable it is? Or is that something that you take notice of each and every day? We are surrounded by an incredible world that God has provided us with. How often do we take a moment to enjoy it? How long do we take a moment to focus on it? We think about these two things. Meditating on the world. Meditating on God's Word. This is a picture that I personally took. Unbelievable. An opportunity that we had to spend some time in Ireland, and you go there and you hear about how green and how magnificent and how beautiful it is. And you get there and sometimes you're put in a situation where all you can do is stand in awe of what God has done. Maybe you've been to a place like that. I've often heard people describe like the Grand Canyon that way. I've not been out to the Grand Canyon, but I've heard people describe it as that. That you get there and you see it and there's just no words. But guess what? That's okay. It's okay to take a moment to soak in the splendor that is God's creation. And we were there and we had opportunity to see unbelievable things. And one of my most favorite pictures, I told Malachi there's going to be a picture of him in the lesson tonight. And he's like, what is it going to be? Is it going to be a little baby picture? I'm like, no, it was just from a couple years ago. This is one of my most favorite pictures of any of the kids. Make notice I said one of my favorite, not the favorite, one of my favorites. Malachi went with Kim and I over to Ireland, and he was, if a lot of you know him already, he's a busy boy. He's always been, from the youngest that I can remember. He's always on the move. He eats his dinner standing a lot of times. He's just always on the move. And when we were there and we were on, this was a hike kind of that we were on and walking along through here, and I just took notice that he just stopped and he sat down. And I was like, quick, take a picture. He's sitting down. But what I love about this, you know, and maybe I can't even answer. This was a couple years ago now. But I see this picture, and here's what I think about. What is he thinking? Now, he was on this trip, and he was all over the place as he normally is, but not here. He just sat down. And I love this picture because it reminds me that sometimes I need to do that. That sometimes I need to be still. And just soak in what God has done. The psalmist beholds his works every day. And so we have opportunities to meditate upon his world, but also to meditate upon his word. Now we talked a lot about that this morning, so I won't hammer down on that. as much as we did this morning, but I do want us to give, I'll just give you one more illustration about that. I love eating food and I love making food, and I'm not too picky. I like eating it in all kinds of different ways and all kinds of different forms. I don't mind eating a TV dinner. A frozen cardboard of stuff that you just put in the microwave, and in a minute, 30 seconds, I'm eating it. Now, it's scalding, boiling hot usually, right? But I'll eat that. I don't have a problem with that. You throw it in the microwave, and in just a few seconds, it's ready to go. And I think sometimes that's how we study God's Word. That's how we read it. We pick it up, and we are on the move. We're on the move because, listen, I've got to read a chapter today, or I've got to read 10 chapters today because, you know, it's October the 8th or 7th. I don't even know what the day is. It's one of those days, I think. And, you know, my Bible reading says I've got to read these 9 chapters in the book of Leviticus, wherever John is, right? My 9 chapters in the book of Leviticus today, and I've got to knock out those things. And that's reading God's Word like a TV dinner. But don't we all love a good meal that's been worked over in the crock pot all day long? I'm talking one of those 8, 10, 12 hour jobs that just fills up the house every time you walk by, and your mind is just all the time put, no matter what you're doing, you're smelling it as you're walking through. Let's take opportunities to study God's Word like this, letting it simmer. Letting it go to work, chewing on it slowly. The psalmist says, I'm going to behold and meditate upon the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works. How do we bless God every day? Number one, we behold his works every day. Number two, we bless others. Bless others every day. What's that look like? Well, the psalmist tells us. Look again at Psalm 145, beginning in verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and I shall sing of your righteousness. Think about the verbs that are used in these few verses here. Praise, declare, speak, utter, sing every day. And so my question to you is this. Are you making an impact on the people around you every day? Now let me answer that for you. The answer to that question is yes. You're having an impact on the people around you every single day. I'll answer that part for all of us here. Every single one of us. We have an impact on the people that we are around every day. But the question, and what I cannot answer for you, is what kind of impact are we having? Remember we talked about this morning? Even a little bit with the law of exposure, what we choose to focus on is in reality what is the thing that will drive us. What do we see from the psalmist here in Psalm 145? Praising and declaring and speaking and uttering and singing God's praises to the ones that they are around. You want to bless God every day? You want to focus on making every day a masterpiece? You bless others every day. You sing the praises of God to others every single day. You choose to have this kind of impact each and every day. And that brings me to the third and final point. You be aware of God's graciousness every day. Look at what verse 8 says. The psalmist again talks about in verse 8, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. Now, I had opportunity last trimester to study from the book and class on grace that a lot of you are in right now. A lot of you were in that class last trimester. But what I came away, and I don't want to give away the end, who's, you know, John and Kevin, all those guys, I'm going to give the end away a little bit. But what I came away with is just the understanding that, listen, that class and thinking about and ruminating on and chewing on God's grace had a profound impact on my relationship with God. And it put me in the position to understand that this is something, God's goodness, God's graciousness, God's mercy, God's love, His compassion is something that we need to be focusing on every single day. And you do that. You focus on His goodness, and you focus on His graciousness, and you focus on His mercy. You really focus on those things. And you just try to have a rotten day. Just try to have a rotten day. You know, we started at the very beginning of this with the question, who would want to make each and every day in their life a masterpiece? And maybe I answered for you, but I would think that each and every one of us would say, I want that. Well, how does that happen? You behold His works every day. You bless others. You sing His praises every day. And you be aware of God's grace and His mercy every day. And like the psalmist, we too can cry, every day I will bless You and I will praise Your name forever and ever. You may look back on some of your days and you may see, I've had a few days that just didn't go so great. And I hope that after thinking about the things that we've talked about tonight from Psalm 145, that you can look back to that day and you can pinpoint why it was that that was not a masterpieceful day. That your focus that day was not on God. That your focus that day was not on His majesty, was not on His grace, was not on His goodness. That your focus was not on telling of His wondrous works to everyone that we are around. You'll probably find that that day, your focus was on yourself. And when we focus on ourselves, we focus on our problems, we focus on our difficulties. There's not a lot of masterpieces to be found there. But God in His goodness and God in His blessing to us as His children has made it possible, listen, has made it possible that each and every day can be a masterpiece. How do we know that? You turn to the book of Acts and you read through the Gospels and you read through the epistles. And you see Jesus, you see men like the Apostle Paul, and all of the things that he went through, but yet was able to pen a book like Philippians that talks about his joy and his peace. Where does that come from? Focusing on himself? Focusing on his prison bars? Focusing on his shackles? Focusing on the little bit of food that he may have to eat? Focusing on the cold? No, it comes from focusing on God. And today, both this morning and tonight, I have by design encouraged all of us, myself included, to go through life with a little shorter focus, specifically on God. And allow that focus and that mindset to direct our life. And there can be masterpieces out ahead for each and every one of us. It's a great thing to think about. It's a beautiful picture given to us in Psalm 145. And I appreciate you listening so well tonight. Well, Eli's going to sing us a song. He's going to lead us in a song of invitation. It gives us an opportunity. And maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know what? I don't have a very masterpieceful day or life. Nothing seems to go my way. My relationship with God is not where it needs to be. That I just feel as if there's something missing. And God is what's missing. But you think about, as we sing this song, your relationship with Him. And maybe there's a change that needs to happen in your thinking. The sin which separates you from Him can be washed away in the waters of baptism this very day. You know, talk about making a day a masterpiece. Or maybe you've walked away in some other way. We could help you with that. Pray with you. Or maybe it's something just between you and your God. What a great opportunity you have right now to do something about that. Well, if we can help you in any way, let us know as we stand and sing.